the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a beautiful song today and continue with our verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of John, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green, today continuing in chapter 20. But just before the message today, we're going to hear that great song, Jesus is All the World to Me. Can you say that in your Christian life? Well, I hope you can, because that's the way we should be each and every day. So enjoy the music, and after that, Dr. Green.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day, without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go, no other
here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Now, gracious Heavenly Father, as we open thy word to study today, honor thy word, honor the name of Jesus, the shed blood, and save souls, our Father. Save souls, especially that soul that's nearest hell. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we've been studying the 20th chapter of John's Gospel, and of course, in connection with John chapter 20, we've been studying 1 Corinthians 15, and today I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 2, and in connection with John 20, the resurrection, I'm going to point out something else that I want you to see and realize and recognize and receive, because I said the life, the sinless life, yes, Jesus never sinned. In thought, word, or deed, he never sinned. There was no sin in him. There was no guile in him. Jesus never committed one sin, not one, but if he had lived a sinless life, and that's all, his sinless life could not have saved us. Beloved, his pure life did not save us alone. It took the pure life, but it also took the death. But wait now, the death did not save us alone. If Jesus had died, and if he had not rose again, his death could not have saved us. He would have been just another religious martyr. Now, I don't mean religious Christian martyr, because, of course, there are martyrs to religion. Even though I give my body to be burned, it profiteth me nothing if I do not possess Jesus. So, really, there have been many religious martyrs, and of course, they thought Jesus was a religious fanatic. But if Jesus had lived a pure life, a sinless life, a holy life, and if he had died, and that had been the end of it, beloved, he could not have saved you. He could not have saved me. Now, I have repeated and I'm repeating again. The only time we hear the resurrection in the pulpits and many churches is on Easter Sunday morning. The same sermon, the same outline, and the same text and everything right down the line every Easter. But wait a minute, beloved, wait a minute. The resurrection is just as important as the virgin birth, the sinless life, the death, the blood. The resurrection is a divine imperative. It's an absolute imperative. You say, preacher, what are you excited about? I'm excited about the truth that is being so sadly neglected today by liberals and modernists, men who claim to be fundamental preachers, and yet they deny the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Oh yes, there are thousands of church members and thousands of ministers in America who do not believe in the bodily resurrection. But you must believe in the bodily resurrection. Jesus rose in a body of flesh and bones, and you must believe that, or be in that lake of fire throughout eternity. Now today I want to show you another very interesting passage of Scripture in Paul's letter to Hebrews, and we'll begin reading in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. And here's what we read. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Now watch it. He was made to suffer death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. There are so many things in that scripture. I'm supposed to be talking about the resurrection, but, you know, it's hard to pass over things like this. Watch it. He was made a little lower than the angels. He was made. Now, why was he made a little lower than the angels? He was not an angel. He was not a spirit being. He was a man of flesh, bones, and blood when he came the first time. Why? He was made to suffer death. He was made to suffer death. He was made to die. Now, let me say this, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. I don't want you to get the idea that I am a critic, a fault finder. I'm not. I believe I'm jealous for the Scriptures. I'm jealous for the Word of God. It doesn't make any difference what I think about it. Doesn't make any difference what I say about it or how I interpret it. It's the plain Word of God. Jesus did not. He was not made to heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, to raise dead Lazarus. Now, you wait just a minute. Don't cut that radio off. Just leave it right where it is until you give me a chance to finish my statement. Jesus was not made to heal the sick. He has healed me. Jesus has healed me, and if he had not been in the grave today, I'd be dead and in the grave if Jesus had not healed me. I've almost died three times in the past, well, almost 7 years now. Now, I've almost died three times in the past 7 years, and Jesus healed me. But Jesus didn't come to heal me. That is a, shall I say, that is secondary. He didn't come to open the eyes of blind Bartimaeus primarily. He didn't come to raise Lazarus primarily. Those are secondary things. Jesus came primarily to taste death for every man, and he did. Hallelujah to God. Listen to what I'm saying to you. He tasted death for every man, not just a little handful. Now, I'm supposed to be preaching on resurrection, but I can't pass this up. I got a letter the other day. Brother Green, we want to straighten you out on the sovereignty of God. Listen, I believe in the sovereignty of God just as much as you do. I believe in the sovereignty of God just as much as any hyper-Calvinist, ultra-predestinarian. I believe in the sovereignty of God just as much as any limited atonement preacher. But I don't preach limited atonement because the Bible doesn't teach limited atonement. He tasted death for every man, and that takes in every man. Now, why do we want to warp and twist the Word of God and cut out and add to fit some little puny religion? God have mercy on preachers who make the Bible fit what they believe instead of fitting what they believe into the Bible. Let the Bible teach you. Don't try to tell God. Now, Jesus was made a little lower than angels so he could die. Suffer death. Now, so he suffered death. And he was crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now let me emphasize this and answer this question. What does it mean when it says we see Jesus? back in the Gospel of John just a few days ago, we discussed it. Jesus said, of course, before that, in John 14, he said, Thomas, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus said, they that believe on me, believe on the Father. They that receive me, receive the Father. They that see me, see the Father. Now, we discussed that fully. Now, what does it mean? And then back in John 6:44, everyone that seeth the Father and believeth. Now, what does that mean, that I must see God? No, no. Listen, it's talking about the eye of the inner man. You see, the natural eye sees. For instance, I'm right here before a microphone. Now, I don't need any faith to believe that this is a microphone. I see it. I see it. I'm looking at it. I'm before this equipment here, this broadcasting equipment, and I know what it is. I can see it. I don't need any faith to believe that this is radio equipment. I can see it. Now, the eye of the inner man does not see as the eye of the natural man. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're spiritually discerned. You see, the natural man says, show me. Now, the enemies of Jesus, they said, come down, show us. Come on down, we'll believe on you. But Jesus said, you believe and you will see. They said, let us see and we'll believe. But Jesus said, believe and you will see. Now, what does it mean when it says, we see Jesus? It means we see him with the eye of faith. We see him with the eye of faith. We see him in the scriptures. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. We see him with the eye of the inner man, the eye of faith. Now let me emphasize this before we go any further. He, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man. By the grace of God. Now, I want you to listen carefully. I've said this on the radio before, but I want to repeat it and emphasize it. Beloved, the love of God, the love of God brought grace. Grace didn't bring love. Love brought grace. If God had not loved us, as stated in Romans 5, while we were yet sinners, we were strengthless, ungodly sinners, and enemies of Jesus, Romans 5, God commendeth his love toward us. Now, why did God commend his love toward us? Why did God shower down his love upon strengthless, hopeless, ungodly, sinful enemies? Why did he do it? The only answer is grace, unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. Now, let me put it this way, beloved. Listen carefully now what I'm going to say. Love did not bring grace. Grace brought love. Now wait. Grace brought Jesus down to man. Grace brought Jesus down to man. And grace gave him a body, that in that body he might suffer and take the sinner's place. Grace. Grace brought down the love of God. Jesus on Calvary was God's love on display. Yes, God's love was displayed on Calvary, but grace, the grace of God, brought the love of God down to man. Well, here it is, that he, by the grace of God, God's grace, we're saved by God's grace. We are redeemed by God's grace. God's grace brought Jesus down to man. Now, let me move on, because I want to get down to this verse that I want us to discuss a little more fully. Now, listen. In verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels. Now watch this. He took not on him the nature of angels, but watch what he did now. He took on him the seed of Abraham. He took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now here's what I want you to see. In the time that I have left today for the message, and I do hope I can get it across to you, if you've never seen it, you'll appreciate your salvation more than you ever have. Now, Christ died on the cross that we might be saved. He came to take away the sin of the world. He was made a little lower than the angels. He was made to suffer death. We are redeemed through his shed blood. In the blood, without the shedding of blood, no redemption. Without the shedding of blood, Hebrews 9:22, and in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And 1 Peter 1:18-19 and following, we are redeemed by the precious blood of the spotless Lamb. But now, wait a minute now. I want you to see this. Wherefore, in all things, he was not only made like a man to suffer death. Now hear me well and hear me carefully. He was not only made like a man, like unto man to suffer death. He was made like unto man. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Let me read this correctly now. Watch it. Wherefore, in all things, that's what I want to emphasize, and that's what my poor finite mind, was trying to play a trick on me and get me to leave out that word. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now I want your undivided attention. Hear me, please. Hear me well. How many Christians, if you've been saved 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 25 years, 50 years, how many Christians could look me straight in the face and say, Brother Green, I have never committed any sin whatsoever since God saved me. I have not sinned one iota, one little teeny tiny sin. I have not committed one sin since God saved me. Could you say that? How many folks could say that? If I had you in a church or my tent or an auditorium, how many of you could raise your hand and say, Brother Green, I have not committed one little teeny tiny sin since God saved me. I have not sinned any way, shape, form, or fashion. I've made no mistake. And mistakes are sin, dear. Yes, my friend, mistakes are sin, bless your heart. And nothing shall enter that city that defileth. The church will be without spot or wrinkle. Yeah. Without sins or mistakes. Oh, yes. How many of you can say, Brother Green, I have not made a mistake. I have not sinned. I have not done anything wrong anyway since God saved me. Could you say that? I must confess, I can't. I wish I could. I wish I could say that and tell the truth, but I can't. I have failed. I've come short in sins of omission. I have not done every minute of every day, of every hour, the things that I could have done. I'm afraid I've let opportunities slip by. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, I could go on down the line, but there's no point. I have failed the Lord. Now, I'm saying that to say this. Jesus shed his blood to redeem us. But we read right here that he was made in all things like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now, there is one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We have a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities because he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He lived in a body without sin, therefore he can feel with us. He feels as we feel. Now, here's what I'm saying. Now, listen carefully. Listen very carefully. If Jesus had died, shed his blood, spilt his blood for the remission of sin, and if I had trusted him and he saved me 32 years ago and then left me and had no more to do with me, I'd go straight to hell when I die. Now wait just a minute. Now wait a minute, beloved. Wait a minute. Jesus died to redeem us. He lives to save us. Now what do you mean, preacher? I mean exactly what the scripture tells me, that we are redeemed by his shed blood. Now, I'm here in Romans chapter 5. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. If we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we have been reconciled. If we were reconciled, when we were reconciled, past tense, not present tense, not future tense, but we were reconciled to God by the death, by the blood, much more, being we are, see, it's already past, being reconciled, being redeemed, we shall be, future tense, day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour, week by week, month by month, year by year, we shall be saved by his life. Because he lives, we live. Because he overcame, we overcome in him. Read Romans 8:31 through the rest of the chapter. Romans 8:31 through the rest of the chapter. Now in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8:1. Romans 8:39, in Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors, but only in Christ. Now here's what I'm saying. If Jesus had shed his pure, sinless blood on Calvary, and they put him in the tomb, and the devil had been able to keep him in the tomb, we would have no mediator, we would have no high priest, and we'd all go to hell. It took the death, the burial, the resurrection. It took the death, the blood, the resurrection. Beloved, there's a man in heaven. There is a man in heaven in a body of flesh and bones. It's a glorified body. Oh, yes. It is a glorified body, but it's a body of bones and a body of flesh. No blood. He gave his blood for our redemption. He lives in a body of flesh and bones to make intercession for us. He intercedes. In other words, he is my marvelous, glorious, wonderful, capable lawyer. He's my spiritual lawyer, my spiritual advisor. He's the one that talks to the Heavenly Father on my behalf. Hallelujah to God. 1 Timothy 2:5, one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, hallelujah, the man Christ Jesus. Our high priest, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He died to redeem me. He lives to keep me. Praise God. He lives to save me. Save me from the daily temptation. Save me from the pitfalls. Save me from the snares. And praise God, save me in the end from corruption. Because he lives, we live. The spirit that raised up Jesus will also quicken your mortal bodies. This mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruption. When Jesus, the first fruits, comes again in the rapture and the saints are raised incorruptible, glory to his precious saving name. Now, Jesus was made to suffer death, but praise God, death couldn't hold him. He rose again. He died for my redemption. He lives for my deliverance, my salvation from temptation, from the pitfalls and the snares of the wicked one. I thank God that he came. I thank God he lived a sinless life. I thank God that Jesus overcame every temptation. He was tempted, yet he did overcome. He was nailed to a cross. He shed his blood. They put him in a tomb, but death could not hold him. He walked out of that tomb. And because he lives, we live. Because he lives, we are more than conquerors over the world, the flesh, sin, the devil, death, hell, and the grave. But it is only in Jesus that we are more than conquerors. Now, Father, I pray in the precious, powerful, saving name of the Lamb of God, I pray, honor thy word, the shed blood, the name of Jesus, and may Christians realize that we have a mediator. We have a high priest. He sits at the right hand of the majesty to make intercession for us. Comfort Christians. Save the soul that's nearest hell for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope you were blessed as you listened to the Gospel Hour program today. And please tune in again each and every time that you can. Now, just before we close, I do have a few moments left to share with you our gift offer for this week, gift offer DD as in David. It contains two items, a book and a musical CD, and it's available to you in return for your donation to this ministry in the amount of $10 or more. Please send more if you can, $15, $25, $50, whatever the Lord lays on your heart will be used for God's glory. And I know that many of you, after you hear more about it, will want to order several sets of this offer to share with others, put in your church library, and so on. Now, you can certainly do that. I welcome your orders of multiple sets of Offer D. All I need to know is how many sets you want, and please send a donation of at least $10 for each set that you order. And in return, I'm going to send you a book by my father entitled Eternal Life. It's 188 pages long. It's a hardback book. It has a foreword by my dad, which you really need to read. He gives you so much information in his forewords to any book. And then there are 10 chapters. For instance, what is eternal life? Man's way, false. God's plan of salvation, substitution, the grounds for salvation. Just some of the chapters in this great book. Then we have the musical CD by the Gospel Hour singers and musicians, Eternal Promises of God. 17 great songs. In fact, this is my favorite songs in this album. Songs such as I Heard It All, Lost It All to Find Everything, In the Garden, Come Unto Me, His Eye is on the Sparrow, Almost Persuaded. Just some of the great songs in this album. So to get the music and the book, just ask for Gift Offer D and send your gift of at least $10. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.